We will look into our memory verses this morning. Last week's memory verse was Psalms 29 verse 11. Psalms 29 verse 11. Say it together with me. The Lord will give strength. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Once again. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29 verse 11. And today's verse is a very short one. It's from Romans 15 verse 7. Say it with me. Accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Let's say that again. Accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Romans 15:7. Now we listen to God's word from our brother Ian Robson. Brother,
I want to share with you what is on my heart this morning and how we began this meeting thinking of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, many things we lose the meaning of. You know, why we meet on a Sunday. We are not Jews, so we're not Seventh-day Adventists who meet on a Saturday. It doesn't matter what the day is, you know, we thank God we have the opportunity to meet on a Sunday. So, whether we meet on a Saturday in the Gulf, they meet on a Friday or a Saturday. In Melbourne, they have to meet on a Saturday evening, because the church is not available, hall is not available on Sunday. So it's not the day. But the meaning why we meet is that because Jesus rose from the dead. And we can forget that. And I was thinking of that even as we sang this morning. And some of you who were with us, you know, 25 years ago, Brother Charles, remember. I remember he used to tell me he used to feel so down when he came to the meetings in the old CFC, when we went through that period of legalism. Always inward looking, the songs that we sang were inward looking, and it was very depressing, because all the time we were speaking about dying and dying to self. That is good, but there is no death, you know, there is no resurrection. When we speak of the resurrection of Jesus, it's when we think of his death. But if we only think of his death, and we only think of dying to ourselves and bearing in our body the dying of Jesus, if you read the rest of it, there's no mention of the death of Jesus without the resurrection. I hope you recognize that as you read the scriptures. And that's what we are to focus on. We are to die to ourselves. We are to bear in our bodies the dying of Jesus. We are to take up the cross, deny ourselves daily. But the end result is there's a resurrection. In doing that we come into a risen life, and that's the life that God has called us to live on this earth. Otherwise, it's very depressing. That's what Paul says, if, you know, we are of all men to be pitied if there's no hope, if we don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And that's what's on my heart to share with us this morning. You know, as we go out of the hall, there's a verse there, one of those verses at the back. It says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. How many of us really believe that? As Jesus is, so are we in the world. That's 1 John. I'd like you to turn there. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. And the Holy Spirit is not just making a statement here. He's not just telling us something, you know, which is very nice and comfortable to think about. But what the Holy Spirit is telling us, that this is the life that we are to live on this earth. That as Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, so are we in this world. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, God the Father raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that's directed towards you and me. And that is what we need to believe. Today is one of the big days when, apart when we opened this hall, it's the day when we went to see 20 people, or nearly 20 people, get baptized. And I hope you, most of them were young people, I hope you young brothers and sisters would be gripped with this, that this is the life. Don't be satisfied you're getting baptized in water. Seek for resurrection power. Seek for the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of us who have been baptized, all of us sitting here and listening this morning, I want to ask you, do you believe what is written here? As Jesus is, so are we in this world. I thank God that I know that's true in my life. And that is what has helped me through many trials, through many difficulties, to many situations, many crises. Because as Jesus is, so am I in this world. And I want you to look at the context of it in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. You people who are getting baptized, I trust that you have come to Jesus in repentance and faith and believe in the forgiveness of sins and become part of the family of God. So it says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know, listen to this, we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There's that verse. It's the end of verse 17. By this, love is perfected with us. What does the Holy Spirit mean by this? What is written in verse 16? We have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. By this, love is perfected with us. And goes on to say, perfect. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And if we are not grounded in this, and you people who are getting baptized, if you're not, you have not come to know and believe the love which God has for you, you're not building on a good foundation. You can't live this risen life. You cannot experience the power of the resurrected life. We are not called to live here like human beings. We are seated in heavenly places. We are called to live as spiritual men and women, not mere human beings. And it begins here that I know and believe the love which God has for us. And Jude tells us that we are to remain in verse 20 of Jude, that we are to remain in this boundary where God's love can reach us and bless us. So what really matters first is that we know and believe the love which God has for us. I want to ask you this morning, have you come to know and believe the love which God has for you? That God loves you and God loves me just as much as he loved Jesus. That's what it is. That's the foundation. And no matter what happens, if we are grounded, we can never be found out of love. And this is where we begin. This is where the resurrection life begins. And we are called to live that life on this earth. And I want to say to you who are being baptized this morning, think of that. I pray to God that as you seek God, not that you've become a committed member of this church, you've got an added degree. Seek for the power of the Holy Spirit. Seek for the power of the resurrection life. That's the only way that you can live a wonderful life on this earth. That's the only way you can fulfill God's purpose in your generation. Not just because you're baptized in water, but that you also seek for resurrection power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this is what it means, what we just read there and what we have up at the back there. As Jesus is, so also are we in this world. This is the resurrection life that we partake here on earth. It's not walking through closed doors and walls and being transported to places where we choose to go. That will happen one day, but that's not what we are thinking about. That's not what we are talking about this morning. For me to experience the resurrection life, something happens within me. Our inner life, we should be living in resurrection power. It's not something outward, something spectacular. But in my inner man, in my inner life, I experience the resurrection power. And my inner man is being renewed day by day, not Sunday by Sunday, but day by day, as our outer man decays. All of us sitting here are getting older. Whether you know it, whether you accept it or not, and whatever you may use, whatever aging creams, whatever tonics you use, you will get older. I have no doubt about it. And however we may look and appear to people, 10 years younger or whatever it is, we are getting older. And our body tells it. Our outer man is decaying. But my inner man must be renewed day by day. Even the little baby that's born is getting older by the day, by the moment. But I want to ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, and those of you who have been coming to CFC for so many years, is that happening? As He is, so are we in the world. That my inner man is being renewed day by day. I want you to look at this word in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. We have seen it many times before. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. It's always good to read these words in its context. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and you know, it says there in reading before that, that's what I just said to you. You know, there's no mention of death without the resurrection. It says then, verse 12, so death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. In verse 14, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things, not some things, for all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And to believe that all things are for my sake, not some things, everything that happens every day, as I go to work, as I drive on the roads, and whatever may happen in the home, all things are for my sake so that grace may come to me. The grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. That's what God wants. God causes all things, Romans 8:28, that we all know, to work together for our good because we love Him, because we are called according to His purpose. And His purpose is to conform us to the image of Jesus. His purpose is to help us to walk like Jesus walked, to help us to live like Jesus. As Jesus is, so also are we in the world. That is God's purpose. So He works all things. He works all things for our good, and He allows into our lives for our sake, so that we get grace. That's what God wants to give us, because it's only through trial and difficulty and problems and troubles that come our way. God is not punishing us. He wants to give us grace. And that's the only way He can do it. So therefore, He says, we do not lose heart. It's impossible, if you really believe this, it's impossible to lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary, listen, read on, verse 17. Light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Notice the words the Holy Spirit uses. Momentary light affliction. It says is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. You put it in the scales, the glory is much, much more. And the affliction is, when we see it, is momentary and light. Everything passes away. Remember that. This too will pass away. Whatever problem, whatever difficulty you're having, whatever fear of the future, this too will pass away. We are not creatures bound by time. We have eternity in our hearts. Because as Jesus is, so are we in the world. And it says there, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen. So momentary light affliction produces in us a It says an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Doesn't stop there. There's a comma. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That is how we have to live our life. Everything is temporal, my brothers and sisters. The things which we cannot see are eternal. And that's the vision that we should have. That's what we should be seeing. Particularly when we go through affliction. Particularly when God allows problems into our lives. When we come into trials. We look at the things which are not seen. Then, you know what we read in verse 17. This momentary light affliction will produce in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. This is the life the Holy Spirit empowers us to live. And I want to say to you who are being baptized, seek for this life. You've not got a degree by getting into that tank. Seek for the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of us sitting here, we recall the time when we got baptized and we decided to be disciples and we testified that we're going to follow Jesus. I want to ask every one of you who have been baptized in water, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire? Otherwise, you're wasting your life. I hope that you will be challenged this morning to seek for this life, this resurrection life that God has called every one of us who are part of His family to live on this earth. Now and particularly in the days to come. And may God help us to see that. Then we can fulfill God's purpose in our generation. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. And 2 Corinthians, if you turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 13, there's a word that we need to take note of. It says, for indeed, Jesus was crucified because of weakness, yet He lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, yet we live with Him, because of the power of God directed toward you. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith, in this kind of faith, that the power of God is directed towards you. Test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? I have to test to see, not that I accepted Jesus Christ, and those of you who are getting baptized, not that you accepted Jesus Christ, you receive the forgiveness of sins, but is this Christ living in you? The Christ of the Bible, the risen Christ in resurrection power, is He living in you and me? And we know that in the different situations, when we come into problems and difficulties, when in our relationships with each other, in our relationships in the home, is this Christ living in me? The risen Christ. The power that raised Him from the dead is the same power that is at work in you and me if we belong to God's family. And so the Holy Spirit says, test yourself to see whether you are in this faith. Examine yourself. Or do you fail the test? And if you find you fail the test, do it again. We are so careful that when our children fail, we encourage them to do it again. And if they're not promoted, that we encourage them, you know, repeat the class. And I believe many of you sitting here need to repeat the class. Need to go through, as you see these people get baptized, need to recall that day when you got baptized. And I can clearly think of the day when I got baptized. And I sought the Lord. It took me 5 months after that to seek the Lord and be baptized in the Holy Spirit, even though later I closed up in unbelief. But I thank God that I was not satisfied that I was baptized in water. I sought for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to every one of you who have been baptized in water, you may need to repeat the class again. Test yourself to see whether you pass. Whether you recognize that this Jesus, the risen Jesus, who is there at the right hand of Father, is in you, or do you fail the test? And we can do something about it. Because the life that we are called to live, my brothers and sisters, is not a timid, grave-tending life. You know, that's how the Message Bible puts it in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans 8, 15, you can follow it in your Bible. I'm reading from the Message. It says, this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is and we know who we are, Father and children. You know, does this really lift you up to see this? That this is how it is? The spirit we have is a spirit where I can call God Daddy. Daddy, whatever the situation, whatever the difficulty, Daddy, you know. You know what I'm going through. You know this fear, this anxiety. And I expectantly wait and know that He only wants to give us good. He's not there to hand us some sickness, some cancer, some problem, some difficulty, put us in a situation and we think that He's punishing us. He's our Dad. That's what it says there. We know who He is and we know who we are. Father and children. Sons and daughters of the living God. My dear brothers and sisters, we sit and it doesn't hit us. It must come to us like a cannonball and wake us up. Like I said, you know, we bring that spirit into the meeting. A resurrection spirit. That we can praise Him, we can rejoice in Him. Not like Christians do once a year, they think of the death and resurrection of Jesus. We can live this life every day. And that is our calling. This is how it must be in our homes. In our places of work. That, you know, it's like when Jesus, after His resurrection, visited some homes. And visited some places and met people. They were not the same after that. Just imagine, you know, if you were living in that time and the risen Jesus came to your home. Would you be the same? Well, just imagine you're walking down the road and the risen Jesus, like some of those people, met, like the two disciples to Emmaus, and like Mary, met you. Would you be the same? That's what it must be, my brothers and sisters. But sadly, the kind of Christianity today, the Pentecostal Christianity, charismatic Christianity, only excites you. It doesn't empower you. And if you've been used to that, that you want to get excitement, then something's wrong. Things must be different when the risen Jesus meets us and when He comes to live within us. Our life must be different. Our homes must be different. Our relationship with husband and wife must be different. Our relationship with each other must be different. No matter what the problem, what the difficulty, I can never find myself out of love. As Jesus is, so are we in the world. Because I've come to know and believe the love which God has for me. And I pray to God that that's how it will be, and particularly for you who are being baptized. There are two things, you know, that our flesh and the enemy of our soul seek to do to keep us from living in resurrection power. And, you know, get us to walk like mere men. Paul said to the Corinthians, there was not one wise man there. He says, you're walking like mere men when you say, I'm a Paul, I'm a Paulus, and so on and so forth. He says, you're still fleshly. 1 Corinthians 3:3, if you like to look at it. He says, since there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? We're not to walk like mere men, like I said at the beginning. We're not to walk like ordinary human beings. We are heavenly beings. We have heaven in our hearts. We have the risen Jesus in our hearts. That I can live as He is. I can live in this world. And it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. That's a great resurrection chapter. I would encourage you. You know, you read it and read it many times. You'll never feel down. You'll be gripped with the resurrection life of Jesus. And you'll be gripped with the life that God has called us to. It's blessed my heart every time I've read 1 Corinthians 15. It's a resurrection chapter. It says the first man, verse 47. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, listen to this. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. So we are not called to be like mere men and women on this earth. We have heaven in our hearts. We have the risen Jesus, and we will bear the image of the heavenly. But, you know, like I said, the devil wants to make us live like that. And particularly when we face opposition and persecution. You know, to remember, when we face opposition and persecution, when we face such a situation where it can easily become a conflict, to remember, and I always think of this word that Jesus confessed before Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." And you know, constantly, in the different situations, whether it's in the office, in the home, the devil wants to bring us down to this place where we get into a fight and get into a conflict. And so what we are testifying, "My kingdom is of this world." Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world, because if it were, then my servants would fight. But as it were, my kingdom is not of this realm." And that's what the devil seeks to do with every conflict, with every trial, with every difficulty you have with a person, whether you work sport in the home. He wants to bring it down to earth. He has won over you then. And like I said, that is where the flesh and the enemy of our souls, particularly when we meet opposition and persecution, particularly when we have a difference of opinion, the devil would like to bring the conflict down to earth. But we are reminded, "My kingdom is not of this world. I will not fight." And the other thing that the devil would like to bring us down to the earth is when we encounter trials and temptations. You know, when we face conflict and opposition and persecution, the devil would like to get us to fight flesh and blood. But we are not up against flesh and blood. We are against the principalities and powers, against the world forces of this darkness, it says. That's the fight we are in. We are not fighting flesh and blood. And so every time that I am to see that I'm not down here, I'm up there, I'm seated in the heavenly places, that's where Jesus has put me. To be seated in the heavenly places. Bless me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. If I remain here, there I will be blessed with every spiritual blessing. I will get grace. And I will give thanks to God, and that grace will spread to other people as they look at your life and mine. That's how it must be, my brothers and sisters. We must always hear that call that the Spirit said to John, "Come up here." Many times that is, "Come up here and I will show you the things that must shortly come to pass." Will you give heed to that the next time you face a problem or difficulty? Come up here. When we begin to see it, you know, down here, and we look at it, we go by our senses and we go by what we see, and we look at our circumstances and the fear of the future, and the Holy Spirit is saying, "Come up here, I will show you." You know, and that's what Paul prayed for the Colossian church in Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. Colossians 1, verse 7. You know, I'm reading it from another version, the J.B. Phillips. It says, "So you will understand," verse 7, "you will understand that since we heard about you," heard about your growth in love, the love in the Spirit, it says in the previous verse, "we have never missed you in our prayers." We are asking God. See, this is what Paul prayed for. "We are asking God that you may see things as it were from His point of view, by being given spiritual insight and understanding. We also pray that your outward lives, which men see, may bring credit to your Master's name." That's what Paul prayed for this church in Colossae. He says that you may see things as it were from God's point of view. My dear brothers and sisters, in the life that we live on this earth and whatever we face, God wants us to see things from His point of view, not from our point of view, not from a man's point of view. We get counsel, we get help, we get advice. But if we're in touch with the risen one, I will see things from His point of view. And I'll never lose heart, never get discouraged. In my outward life, the way I react, the way I live, it says, which men see will bring credit to your Master's name. May God bring us into such a life. And when we come into this life, we become a witness of His resurrection. That is something that's gripped my heart. When the disciples returned to the upper room after seeing Jesus ascend into heaven, you know, they decided that somebody should replace Judas. And not just to take his place. I want you to see what they decided in Acts chapter 1, verse 22. They decided, you know, that beginning, they wanted somebody, that beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Not of his crucifixion, not of his death, and not of his burial. A witness, not even of his ascension, which they just saw, him going into heaven, but a witness of his resurrection. That's what you and I are called to be witnesses for, my brothers and sisters. It's true we speak about the death of Jesus. It's true we speak about the cross, but never missing the resurrection. And I can think of that time that we went through when we missed it. And that's why we were gloomy and sad, and our meetings were depressing and our songs were depressing. We were always looking inside because we didn't see that we were called to witness to his resurrection. Acts chapter 4, if that doesn't convince you, Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power, listen to this, Acts 4:33. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. What they were giving testimony to? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That is the gospel. Not just speaking to people about the forgiveness of sins, that Jesus died for your sins, he took your place on the cross. That's true, my brother, my sister. But also to tell them, he's the only one who rose from the dead. Do we tell them that? The only one who rose from the dead. That's the Jesus we're speaking of. That's the Jesus we're testifying to. And you who are getting baptized, I hope that you will be a testimony of the resurrection of Jesus. Not just what he's done for you. You can tell people what he's done for you. He's forgiven your sins. He's cleaned up the mess in your life. But he rose from the dead. That's why he's able to do it. Otherwise, you'll still be in your sins. That's what the Bible says. We do not focus on suffering and dying, but on being resurrected. I want to encourage you, because that will change the direction of your Christian life. It's changed mine. And the way I react to different situations, the way I deal with family, with relatives, with brothers and sisters. If I live the resurrection life, it's a different life. You know that the atoning work of Christ's death on the cross would have no effect if there was no resurrection. It'll be null and void. I don't know if you ever thought of that. The Bible says that. We are of all men most to be pitied. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, that fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him. You know, I've often thought of that. The joy that was set before him endured the cross. We have heard that many times before in the church. Jesus didn't enjoy the cross. He endured the cross. But there was a joy set before him. And what was that joy? And it says, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What it was that joy? The joy of resurrection. The joy of knowing that he was going to be raised from the dead. Not just himself, but in bringing many sons to glory. Many sons and daughters. Therefore we are called to be witnesses of his resurrection. And that is how we are to preach the gospel. That is how we are to preach the cross. The cross loses its power if Jesus was not raised from the dead. We will be still in our sins. And Paul's testimony, I want you to look at Acts chapter 23 and verse 6. It says, perceiving that one group were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, is Paul making a defense. Paul began crying out in the council, Acts 23 verse 6. Brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial for the hope and resurrection of the dead. That is what Paul was in defense of, the hope and resurrection of the dead. Acts chapter 24 and verse 21. He says, other than that, for this one statement which I shouted out while standing among them. What was the thing that he shouted out? while standing among them, defending himself, he says, "For the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial before you today." That's what I want to defend. That's what I want to stand and be willing to suffer for the resurrection of the dead, for the resurrection of Jesus, to be on trial. That's what Paul was on trial for. And Jesus speaking about the reality of the resurrection to a group who did not believe, you know, the Sadducees. That's why they were sad, you see. You know, they didn't believe in the resurrection. If you're a Sadducee, you'll be sad. And it says there in Luke chapter 20, Luke 20, 35 and 36, speaking, you know, to these people who did not believe. He says, "Those who were considered worthy to attain to the age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot even die anymore because they are like angels." You know, they came to him with that fictitious story about the man who had the wife who married, you know, seven brothers. Whose wife will he be in the resurrection? They were just testing him. And, you know, Jesus proved that God was the God of the resurrection. "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. God is the God of the living, not of the dead." And he said they don't even die anymore because they're like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. And I want to ask you, those of you who are being baptized this morning, are you a son of the resurrection? Are you a daughter of the resurrection? This is what is important. That's what you're testifying to. We have been buried with him through baptism, Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And I pray to God that all of you who are testifying to the Lord in the waters of baptism will walk in the newness of life. And I pray to God that all of us who have heard what the Spirit is seeking to say to us as a church, God is calling us to walk, my dear brothers and sisters, in the newness of life. If we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly, Romans 6, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Not maybe, but certainly. That is what you are testifying to this morning in the waters of baptism, you dear brothers and sisters. Praise God that many of you are young people. I pray that you'll be gripped, that you will come to know and believe the love that God has for you. Because as Jesus is, so also are we in this world. Amen.
Since many of our young brothers and sisters are going to be baptized, I would just like to share a couple of verses. You know, when a person is drowning in water, and for the last time he lifts up his hand before he goes down, and some expert diver comes and rescues him, then brings him to the shore, and then they resuscitate him. They try to, you know, take out the water that's gone inside and then try to give him, you know, mouth-to-mouth breathing, and then try to resuscitate him. And the person, when he has heart attack and he is almost collapsing, they give him shock treatment and try to revive him. A drowning person needs resuscitation, a dying person needs revival, and a dead person needs resurrection. A classic example is Lazarus. When they sent word to Jesus to come and heal him, Jesus intentionally delayed for 2 more days, and it was 4 days when he finally arrived at the tomb of Lazarus to make sure that he was thoroughly dead. And one of his sisters says, "Lord," when he asks, "Where have you laid him?" says, "Don't bother, he must be already stinking." God waits till we come to that place. If you are still trying to do something for God in your own strength, trying to make yourself acceptable because of your self-strength, you know, that is not acceptable to God. God wants to bring you to a place where that is the end of yourself. When you come to the end of yourself, then comes Christ, the resurrected one, and he resurrects you and gives you a new life. And that is the life that counts. And thereafter, with the help of the Holy Spirit, what you do will count for God, not what you do before dying. For instance, you read in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, it says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." So until you are dead in your trespasses and sins, you still think that you can somehow make it. You cannot. You must come to a place where you acknowledge, "Lord, that's it, I cannot do anymore. Lord, this particular sin that is troubling me for the past few decades, this particular thing where I'm falling over and over and over again, Lord, I don't seem to have any victory. I did so many resolutions, but they're of no effect. Lord, I acknowledge I'm finished. I just cannot do this, Lord. I give up." And then comes the Lord and tells, "Remove the stone in which you have formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." But God, always remember that word, but God, wherever that comes, just underline that in your Bible. But God, there is something glorious that's coming. "But God, being rich in mercy," see, nowhere the Bible says that God is rich in gold or silver or wealth. You know, these earthly wealths. But the Bible says God is one who is rich in mercy. "Because of his great love with which he loved us." How great was the love of God when we experienced, even while we were yet sinners, fit for his judgment, the Bible says, Christ died for us. This is how much God loves us. Being rich in mercy, he loved us even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive. That means he resurrected us. This is what we are going to testify to in the waters of baptism today. Many of you young people, when you go into the waters of baptism, that is an identification of yourself with the death of Jesus Christ, just as like we read from Romans 6, just as Jesus died and was buried and God raised him up from the dead, you are signifying that to that. Similarly, you are going into the waters of baptism, symbolically it is, you are being buried, dead and buried. And then you are being raised and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, now what is your place? Your place is not on this earth. Your feet may be here, but your mind and your heart and your affections are on the, should be on the things above. Like it says, just as he raised us up with him and seated us with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. See, this is what God did. Go back to the previous chapter of same Ephesians 1, verse 22. It says, "When God the Father put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body," that is, the church is his body, "the fullness of him who fills all in all." You see, Christ is already there in the heavenlies. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And it says here that he raised us up together with him and seated us with him. Spiritually speaking, and as far as God is concerned, we are seated together with Christ in the heavenly places. And if you and I have been lifted up and are raised together with Jesus Christ and are sitting with him in the heavenly places, means he put everything under his feet, which is his under the feet of the church, which is his body. That means you and I are connected to that universal body of Christ, which is presently on earth, and spiritually speaking, we are in the heavenly places with Christ. And the least member of the body of Christ, even if you are a little toe, you know what? Satan is under your feet, because you are already there, sitting together with Jesus Christ. And a little toe is enough to crush Satan here, down on this earth. Remember that. Your authority that God has given you as a child of God is far more than you think, because a little toe can crush Satan's head, because he is under your feet. Tell the devil, don't let him sit on your head. Tell him, I'm going to sit on your head. You are under my feet. And that is the place that God has called us to. To keep him always where he belongs. We are not from this earth. We are born from above. Born from the Spirit of God. And one day, we will literally be resurrected. This is a resurrection from sin. Because Jesus said, when somebody asked him, let me go and bury my father, and then I'll come and follow you. His father was not dead. He said, let me wait till he dies and I'll bury him and then settle everything. Then I'll follow. Jesus said, let the dead, spiritually dead, bury the spiritually dead. But you come and follow me. So today you are indicating that you are dead to this world, to your former way of life. And you have asked Jesus to forgive you, and you have that assurance in your heart. And Jesus, when we ask him to forgive, he sends his Holy Spirit, like it says in Ephesians 1:13, to those who believe. He has sealed them with the Spirit of promise as a down payment. He has sealed them with the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed today for the day of redemption, those of you who are being baptized today. Remember that you are sealed for the day of redemption, and nobody can touch you. And even if you fall, quickly get up, bounce back, and come back on track, because Jesus is always there to welcome you and to restore you. And this is the life that we are called to live, dear brothers and sisters. And it's God's will that we be overcomers. You know, many people outside CFC, you know, think of Jesus as, you know, he came as God, and because he was God, he was able to overcome. Jesus said almost in every church, to every church that he speaks to in Revelation 2 and 3, just as I overcame, just as I overcame, he who overcomes will also inherit. So Jesus overcame as a man, even though he was God and man. He is calling us to follow him. Just as he overcame, we also have the same power of the Holy Spirit, and same anointing, and same grace, so that we together can follow Jesus. And one last word I want to read and close, that's in Ephesians 3:20. Now, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly, beyond all we ask or think, in some translation it says, beyond our wildest imaginations and dreams, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.